milieu.
Globalization, to a large extent, is actually removing responsibility from people within their own locality to take care of themselves.
We know that people do not know who rules or why and how he rules. And yet, they know that there is a power that certainly rules.
And we travel 1,000 miles in an hour and a half. We have traveled through whole areas of existence which we have not necessarily gained. We will pop into a Hindu village, but we won't know a damn thing about that Hindu village.
If you push that all the way, you see, what it means is that we will increasingly tend to inhabit all of these areas in depth simultaneously.
Južna hemisfera. Vsako drugo sredo poročamo o južni polobli. Točno o poldan.
Drage poslušalke, cenjeni poslušalci, lepo pozdravljeni. Kako prijetna podlaga, prav nič prikladna za zelo neprijetno novico. Ta prihaja seveda kot podlaga, ki jo poslušate iz Karibov, natančneje iz Dominikanske republike. Na enem otoku dve državi, Haiti in Dominikanska republika. Haitiju gre slabo, ne? To že vemo. Že dolgo jim ne gre dobro, še toliko slabše jim gre po potresu leta 2010. Da pa ni dobro tudi Haičanom onkraj lastne države, pa je v tem primeru poskrbela Dominikanska republika. Malo je bilo novic o tej temi v evropskih medijih, prav tako slovenskih. Ob odločitvi ustavnega sodišča te države smo poročali v OFU, informativnem programu Radio Študent. Danes pa nekoliko več o krivicah, ki se godijo Haičanom, živečim v Dominikanski republiki, v pogovoru z Edibertom Romanom, prav tako migrantom, sedaj živečim na Floridi, delujočim na Mednarodni univerzi na Floridi, enim izmed bolj priznanih strokovnjakov za vprašanja migracij, beguncev in podobnih stvari v Združenih državah Amerike in širše. O novici, o kateri se v Evropi ne govori mnogo, ne? Verjetno iz razlogov, ker kot se ugotavlja, spominja vse preveč na neke druge čase, ne? Na čase recimo 30-ih let v Nemčiji in posledicah, ki bodo pa seveda zelo podobne, če se le zgodi tisto najhujše, posledicam današnje evropske politike do beguncev, ne? Sploh če govorimo o tistih, ki želijo doseči Evropo preko Sredozemskega morja in v številu, ki gre preko 1000 oseb, letno potonejo in umrejo v tem Sredozemskem morju. Kaj podobnega se zna zgoditi v vodah Karibov, na račun tega, da je Dominikanska republika z odločitvijo, datirano 23. septembra letošnjega leta, odvzela retroaktivno državljanstvo vsem Haičanom, živečim v Dominikanski republiki od leta 1929 dalje. Zdaj mislili bi si verjetno, da je odločitvi botroval potres in pa seveda težnja Haičanov, da najdejo kruh in streho nad glavo nekje drugje. Ne, temu ni bilo tako. Ni razlog potres, razlog je neka dekelca Juliana de Kis-Pierre, ki je leta 2008 se pritožila na sodišču, saj je odreklo dokumente. Ne? Rojena je bila s strani nedokumentiranih migrantov z Haitija, rojena v Dominikanski republiki, vedno tam živela, se tam šolala. Za 18 leti se je želela upisati na fakulteto, pa ni šlo, ker ni imela pravih dokumentov. In ker se pač pritožila, je ta pritožba romala na sodišče. Na sodišču so sodni mlini to mleli. Ne? Leto pred tem so že sprejeli odločitev oziroma zakon kar potiho, da se otrokom, rojenim, nedokumentiranim migrantom ne podeljuje državljanstva. In ker se je ustava tudi spremenila 2010. leta, je vrhovno oziroma ustavno sodišče odločilo, da se retroaktivno oduzame pravico do državljanstva oziroma državljanstvo samo vsem ljudem, ki so to pridobili po predhodnem sprejetju ustave, ne, to pa datira v leto 1929 za Haičane širšega pomena, leto, ko je Dominikanski republiki zavladal Trujillo, ne? Trujillo Rafael, diktator, ki je tej državi vladal vse do leta 61, na samem začetku pa je poskrbel za kar nekaj masakrov, ne? Eden od njih je bil masakr Haičanov na obmejnem pasu z Haitijem, zaradi tega, da je osvobodil tisto zemljo ne za druge Dominikance, ampak bolj za svoje lastne potrebe. Prav tako pa je izpeljal tudi kar nekaj masakrov na račun rasne raznolikosti. Dominikanska republika je seveda država z raznolikimi izgledi kože. Ne? Imate belce, imate rjave, imate malo bolj temno rjave, ne? Tudi nekateri Dominikanci sami so tudi bolj črni, no Rafael Trujillo je stremel k temu, da bi državo očistil temnejših barv in masakriral tudi lasten narod, ki pa ni bil dovolj bel. Seveda je kar nekaj sporov med Haitijem in Dominikansko republiko. Te segajo v začetke 19. stoletja, čim so se teli Haičani osvobodili francoske okupacije, ne, so šli na izlet tudi v Dominikansko republiko in jo okupirali za kakih 20 let. Ne? In ta 200 let stara zgodba se še ni povsem pomirila, sovražnosti še naprej obstajajo in seveda je eden od rezultatov xenofobije, rasizma, tudi odločitev ustavnega sodišča, ki v bistvu oduzema državljanstvo, ne ve se, kolikšnemu številu ljudi, seveda ne samo Haičanom, tam so tudi drugi imigranti, se pa razmišlja, da bi ta številka naj bila nekje med 200 in 500 tisoč ljudi, ki so ostali brez državljanstva in se bodo morali znajti po kakorkoli se bodo že sami znajdli. Ustavno sodišče je naročilo vladi, da v roku enega leta naredi sezname, ne, sezname z imeni in priimki vseh posameznikov, ki jim je potrebno odzeti državljanstvo, ne, da jih potem lahko pošljajo, naj si bo onkraj svojih meja ali pa v razne centre, kjer bodo živeli, kot pač navadni zaporniki živijo. Za začetek pa kar k Ediberto Romano in pa sami odločitvi ustavnega sodišča Dominikanske republike.
What was particularly problematic with the recent Dominican Republic decision, and mind you, this is the Constitutional Court of the Dominican Republic, the highest court in the country, addressing the status of formerly Dominican nationals. They should be under traditional notions of citizenship, both under the classic notion of just sanguis or just solis, which basically means citizenship by blood or by land. You either traditionally in Western countries, if you're born in a country or if you are born of citizens of that country, you are a citizen of that country. And in the case of these individuals, in the Dominican case, they qualified under both scenarios, albeit the very first generation of individuals that came were immigrant workers from Haiti. But the decision in a peculiar and almost absurd result not only addressed the individuals today, but it stripped the citizenship of everyone dating back to 1929, almost unheard of in any decision I have recently read about related to immigration.
No, kakšni pa so po mnenju Ediberta Romana razlogi za takšno odločitev?
It's the same debate that, I mean, if you read the statements before and after that decision, they go hand in hand with what the struggles of Western democracies are dealing with in terms of immigration, and United States in particular. I have written several books on it. My most recent one is Those Damn Immigrants, America's Hysteria with Latin American Immigration. And I argue, in addition to debunking all the classic anti-immigrant rhetoric, is that I argue that America's had a schizophrenic relationship with immigration. Opening its doors and inviting undocumented workers when there was economic need. And this is the same exact parallel that has happened in the Dominican Republic. And frankly, I believe it's analogous with the struggles that European countries are dealing with, both in France and Germany and other countries. They open their doors, they turn a blind eye to undocumented immigrants because they need low-cost workers. And then when there is either political or economic strike, there is a clampdown. So the same rhetoric that has gone around in the United States exactly happened in the Dominican Republic. As a matter of fact, it was a political question that in 2010, the legislature of the Dominican Republic, essentially their Congress, passed a law that basically did away with citizenship by land, just solus. And that has been a movement that other Western, particularly in Europe, countries have had, and Germany has always had a problem with that. But they stem from xenophobic sentiments and the same kind of arguments. They're taking away jobs, the argument that they're diluting the culture. These are the same statements we hear from the Tea Party and the Minutemen here in the United States and similar groups within Europe. It is nothing new, but it is unfortunately a dire experiment that has come to fruition at the expense of hundreds of thousands of Haitians.
No, kot rečeno, s strani Ediberta Romana, bila so obdobja, dolgotrajna obdobja, ko je Dominikanska republika potrebovala delovno silo, zaradi tega so bili večji del Haičani vendarle dobrodošli, sicer so bile razmere, v katerih so živeli podobne suženskim, ne? Ni bilo vse tako pravlično in danes črno, ne? Je danes črno, prej pa tudi ni bilo preveč belo, ne, ali kako bi se temu reklo. Seveda je razlika v temu, kdo pride tja, ne? Danes delavci več niso tako dobrodošli, ne? So pa izjemno dobrodošli tisti, ki bodo vlagali v Haiti, ne? Imajo kar nekaj zakonov sprejetih. En od njih pravi, da če pridete tja in investirate, naj si bo v turizem ali pa kakšen drug sektor, v tem primeru vi in vaše poslovanje ne bo obdavčeno, ne bo vam potrebno plačevati davkov ne državi, ne na lokalni ravni celih 10 let. Imajo tudi poseben zakon, ki vabi tiste v poznih letih, ki že sprejemate penzijo, ne? Imajo prav posebne programe, ki vam organizirajo selitev na Dominikansko republiko, obljubljajo, da vaših penzij ne bodo obdavčevali, ne, in podobno. Seveda pa, kot rečeno, tam več niso dobrodošli nekje med 200 in 500 tisoč ljudi, pretežno haitskega porekla. Obstajajo sedaj štiri možnosti, kaj bi se z njimi lahko zgodilo. Več o teh možnostih Roman Ediberto.
The options left, and by United Nations account, there were at least 200 plus thousand individuals in a similar category. And when you think of the children and the multi-generational aspect of that, the numbers can reach upwards of 500,000. So the options are mass exodus to Haiti. Of these stateless individuals. That's highly unlikely and not workable, given the economic and political strife of Haiti still recovering, unfortunately, from the earthquake, and very little from my understanding and interviews that I've seen and readings, even looking at Port-au-Prince, where you still have basically tent and shanty towns there. How can a country in that state of affairs essentially overnight take in hundreds of thousands of individuals who do not consider themselves Haitian? Now, they may be, you know, of Haitian descent, but these are, for the most part, individuals that do not live, they certainly do not live in Haiti. They have often very little ties with Haiti. Many don't even have family anymore in Haiti. So overnight, it is like taking someone like myself that happened to be Latino but Puerto Rican just because I speak Spanish and forcing me to another country that I'm not totally unfamiliar with and say make your roots here. And it's just not me, it's me and about four to 500,000 other individuals. It is absurd to think Haiti or any other country can do that. So that is one option. Another option is for essentially these individuals to live in an indentured servitude setting, which is basically a scenario in which they're going to have to live in the shadows in an oppressive regime that essentially has targeted them with this decision of saying there's not this, you know, laissez-faire, look the other way approach. This is an ousting and an edict by the court for the government to take steps to account for these individuals. So not only will it be very difficult, it would be in a demoralizing setting. The third option will be a mixture of these efforts, some in Haiti, some in hiding in the Dominican Republic, and then others doing what they can in terms of exodus to the region. The last option will be mass exodus, not unlike we saw with the Mariel boat lift, but think of that 10 times over, and not just to the United States, but through the whole region and hemisphere. We're talking Bermuda, where we are talking Puerto Rico, we are talking Cuba, we are talking Central America, South America, anywhere and everywhere these individuals could go. But I think the primary target, because of its status as a bastion of democracy in the United States, will be a primary target of the boat lift, and the human rights and frankly death toll that will come from the high seas on such an effort is going to be devastating. So this is not only a human rights issue, it is an issue of economics and logic. If we think this is not an American issue or not a hemispheric issue, we're mistaken, because in a very short period of time, it will be, because there will be mass violations. And frankly, when countries have undertaken acts like this in the past, that have led to horrific violations, and I hope it certainly won't get there in the context of genocides like Pol Pot's and the Third Reich's in World War II. The first step is to demonize, to scapegoat, and to make that former group of citizens a former and legal other. And this is what's occurring here. And I'm not suggesting that the Dominican people or the Dominican government is prepared to take those steps, but certainly there will be mass violations and a multitude of deaths, if for nothing else, from starvation, from desperate attempts to leave the country, to find solace and asylum and protection, sanctuary somewhere. And it remains to be seen where that could be, because Haiti is in no state to take in 500,000 people who are stateless and have essentially will be stripped of all ties to their former homeland.
No, torej, kot rečeno, strani Romana več opcije, najmanj verjetno od teh je, da bo teh 200 do 500 tisoč ljudi odšlo v Haiti. Haiti je nesposoben sprejeti tolikšnega števila ljudi. Druga opcija je, da bodo ti pač živeli v senci, se skrivali, poskušali dobiti neko delo na črno in še naprej živeli v Dominikanski republiki. Tretja opcija je, da bodo bivali v teh detencijskih centrih, teh centrih za migrante, ne, sličnih zaporom, ravnač dobra opcija. In četrta opcija je seveda ta, da bodo primorani oditi, ne, tako kot odhajajo z ladjami iz Severne Afrike proti Evropi, ne, in mnogokrat tonejo, ne. Bodo podobno iz Dominikanske republike želeli doseči obale drugih držav, najsi po Združenih držav Amerike ali pa kakšne tretje. Seveda obstaja še opcija, za katero mednarodna skupnost želi, da bi se tudi realizirala, prav tako vsi dobro misleči v Haitiju, pardon, Dominikanski republiki, teh ni malo, ker neki protestov je bilo strani Dominikancev proti tej odločitvi. Izžvižgali so predsednika na ob več priložnostih. Starejše ženske so se modrle v drg, vsi smo Haiti, vse smo Haičanke. Kakorkoli že, padla je že tudi prva pritožba, ne, na sodišče skupnosti karibskih držav. Tudi nekatere države so že izrazile svojo popolno nestrinjanje s to odločitvijo. Ne? Ne gre za neke velike države, ne gre za Trinidad in Tobago, St. Vincent, Guyana. Tudi organizacija ameriških držav je podala negativno mnenje, seveda tudi Združeni narodi. Kaj pa bi lahko prinesla odločitev sodišča skupnosti karibskih držav? Ena od opozicijskih strank Dominikanske republike se že jezi, kaj toliko časa potrebuje to sodišče, da pride do neke odločitve, in ali bi v primeru odločitve, ki bi oponirala odločitvi ustavnega sodišča, ali bi to imelo kakršenkoli efekt na dejansko stanje v Dominikanski republiki, več Roman.
I don't think it could make a decision that would overturn that would raise a question. I mean, I must admit my views are somewhat skewed in terms of being one who is familiar with international norms, but I too often see exceptionalism, particularly American exceptionalism, with respect to international norms. And when you have countries engaging in that, what is to essentially stop a country from saying that you are invading my sovereignty? And I can certainly see the Dominican Republic taking that stance and saying, what organizational body can essentially dictate all the well-being, or even if it's not, you know, even if it's not justified empirically or otherwise, from taking the stance that this is within our country, it's our domain. So I seriously doubt that a decision solely on its face, given the political hotbed that's led to this drastic result, that will be immediately an about face. I think such a decision, coupled with international influence and condemnation, particularly economic influence, mind you, Haiti is the second largest trade partner with the Dominican Republic. The United States is number one. And if we take a unified stance in condemning such an effort and insisting on a plan that is not inconsistent with human rights norms for the treatment of these individuals, if they don't overturn their previous political effort, then, you know, if we do that, then I do see a solution. I don't think an international legal body on its own will have the force and effect when you see such a xenophobic and frankly unsound decision as it relates to human rights, to civil rights, to traditional Western norms of citizenship. I mean, that demonstrates a lot of at the very least disdain for the victims of that decision. So I don't see a court decision on its own having the effect. Again, but I am somewhat suspect or circumspect with respect to the power of international bodies in such a setting. You may have an internationalist or an international law professor taking a slightly more diplomatic stance, but I think you need dollars with the power of the dollar or economic influence coupled with the international bodies in this case, I believe.
Dolari so tisti, ki znajo kaj spremeniti, tega se seveda zavedajo ljudje širom sveta, zaradi tega se že po internetu tudi podpisujejo peticije, ki pozivajo turizma željne ljudi naj pač za svojo destinacijo oddiha ne izberejo Dominikanske republike. Turizem je eden izmed tistih sektorjev, ki tej državi prinese kar nekaj zelencev. So pa tudi drugi prijemi, kot je pač ekonomska politika in podobno. Romane Di Berto in njegovi kolegi iz akademske sfere pa nevladne organizacije že pišejo razne peticije, pisma predstavnikom ameriške politike, generalnemu sekretarju Johnu Kerryju, lokalnim reprezentantom, torej kongresnikom in podobnim, naj pač nekaj storijo, ne? Naj jim pokažejo denarnico, ne? In nakažejo, da se bo ta malo priprla, ne? Če ne bodo sami spremenili odločitev, ne? Odločitev je težko sprejeti, ne? Se vemo, kako so sodni mlini tečejo, ne? In zdaj, če to odločitev vrhovnega ustavnega sodišča, potem je to odločitev ustavnega sodišča, pa še zmer na vladi, ne, da sprejme nek program, ne, po katerem, zdaj, čez kako slabo leto dni, ko bodo pač dokončali ta spisek vseh posameznikov brez papirjev v svoji državi, da sprejmejo neko odločitev, s katero se jim pač enkratno podeli državljanstvo. Ne? To so zdaj neke želje optimistov. Ne? Če bi bile take težnje na strani Dominikanske republike, njene oblasti, potem seveda ne bi bilo potrebno sprejemati zakonov in pravil, po katerih se je tudi ravnalo ustavno sodišče. Torej, eden izmed tistih prvih, nekaj, kar je do nedavnega veljalo, več ne velja, ne? Torej, ta jus soli pravica, ne? Da, torej, posameznik, ki je neki rojen, tudi pridobi državljanstvo tistega kraja, kjer je bil rojen. Ne? Tudi v Evropi smo pozabili na to pravilo že pred desetletji, da bi se ga kmalu spomnili, ne? Zaključimo s to željo in vas pozdravimo. Do slišanja v južni hemisferi čez dva tedna. Z vami sem bil Matej, lep pozdrav.
Globalization, to a large extent, is actually removing responsibility from people within their own locality to take care of themselves.
We know that people do not know who rules or why and how he rules. And yet they know that there is a power that certainly rules.
We travel 1,000 miles in an hour and a half. We have traveled through whole areas of existence which we have not necessarily gained. We will pop into a Hindu village, but we won't know a damn thing about that Hindu village.
If you push that all the way, you see, what it means is that we will increasingly tend to inhabit all of these areas in depth simultaneously.
Južna hemisfera. Vsako drugo sredo poročamo o južni polobli. Točno opoldan. No!